watch. What you wanna watch?
Happy 10th anniversary.
10th anniversary. 10th episode anniversary.
Okay.
Episode anniversary. What do you do? I don't understand the point. So I just bite this afterwards?
Yeah. Hold on.
I have a canker sore. This is going to be great.
Oof. Okay. I got tajin. Just in case.
Should we do the podcast type, like, welcome and then take the shot? Like, welcome to. And then take the shot?
Why not?
All right.
Okay,
here it goes. We're going to take a shot now. Welcome to Netflix Has No Chill.
Netflix Has No Chill. Arriba, abajo, al centro, pa' dentro. That was a lot more than I expected.
That was so much shot.
Holy shit.
Wow. Great podcasting. Gonna have to delete that, probably. Wow.
Yeah, it's just, at this point,
we did promise ASMR
or
whatever.
It's just slurping at this.
Oh, Jesus. I spilled, like, at least half of that shot on my face. Man.
Oh, my God. Okay. It was worth it, you know? An hour into this, I'm gonna be like, it was worth it. Honestly, of all the tequila shots I've ever taken in my life, that one was not the worst.
Okay. It tasted like water, to be honest.
Yeah,
that was like nothing to
really
it.
Really smooth.
Are you sure that we didn't just put water in the bottle of tequila? Because that was...
No, I'm definitely feeling warm.
You know, it smells like alcohol.
It's funny because...
It's on my shirt now.
As a child growing up, they like... Well, the adults... If you had cramps, they'd encourage
you
to...
They would give you a little bit of, like, just, like, a little dab. Like, when my dog is not drinking water, and I, like, just shove... I tap my finger in the water, and I shove it in her face, that amount of tequila.
Kind of. They give you, like, a baby shot of tequila. That's, like, not enough to get you drunk. It's just enough to feel the warmth go down.
Okay.
Which is really nice.
Okay.
And it's also a
sort
good, like...
soothing.
Yeah, it's a really good introduction.
Great way to train your child.
Like, I'm 13, and this is what alcohol
tastes like. And we wonder why
like.
People are alcoholics.
Nah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining our show about Netflix shows, with a long introduction. Apparently, bad alcohol.
I'm really sorry about that.
Whew, wow. What? What a ride we've been on.
Yeah.
But we are here now, and we are excited to talk this week about the Flintstones.
I'm incredibly, incredibly thrilled.
This was actually a very quick decision once we found it.
Are you kidding me? Don't lie to the people, okay? We all know
the process always takes a while, but it was not a debate over, do you really want to watch this? I don't know. I haven't heard. It was literally like, let's watch this.
I didn't give you a chance, really, to think about
it. Within 30 seconds of finding it, we were watching it.
I was like... The Flintstones. And you were like, I've never seen the Flintstones. I'm like, got it. This is what's happening.
And
this
so
is what's happening right now.
We sort of just took the plunge because I've never seen the Flintstones, obviously, and you...
I religiously watched this movie as a child.
Great.
But then, like, you know, you have that growing up stage, or that... It's not growing up stage. You know what it was? It was introduction to new technology stage. So no longer did I have real available access to watch this movie on VHS. I had DVD, I had a Blu-ray, I had a computer.
Okay.
So I couldn't watch
this. So that's why you stopped watching this movie?
Yeah,
otherwise
you
would have kept watching it?
I think I might have kept
watching
the Flintstones.
That's amazing.
You know, just like The Mask.
Okay, so this was one of those movies around the same time, right? Because this came out in 94. It was directed by Brian Levant. Written by, also one of the writers of this, wrote Die Hard. So I'm just like, what is going on here?
I'm sorry, you wrote The Flintstones,
you were a writer on The
wrote...
Flintstones, and then you were like, give me a second.
Die Hard.
2 years later, I'll write The Flintstones. This is one of those movies where I bet in, like, the year before it came out, like, 1993, people were like, damn, dude, Flintstones. I'm excited for that movie. That could be a hilarious movie, you know? It's got a great cast. John Goodman, Rick Moranis, Rosie O'Donnell, Halle Berry, Elizabeth Perkins, Kyle MacLachlan.
Isn't Elizabeth Taylor as well, or am I wrong?
No, Elizabeth Perkins. Elizabeth Taylor was a movie star in the
40s. Mm. Are we positive?
Mid-century. Elizabeth Taylor? Am I?
Am I
Am I just completely ignorant and pretty...
No. I could be just completely...
Now I'm sounding ignorant. We have so many computers around us that could tell us.
I just want to know. Hold on. I'm going to quickly take my phone off.
I'm going to take a quick drink.
Off of... What is... Oh, you're absolutely right.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I'm glad I was not wrong, because it would have shaken a lot of assumptions.
Why do I keep thinking she's Elizabeth Taylor?
Elizabeth Perkins played Wilma. Wilma!
No, the mom. Who do you know who the mom was in this?
Yes, Elizabeth Perkins. Wilma.
That's not Wilma.
What mom are you talking about?
The mom of Wilma.
Oh. I have no idea. Honestly, I don't know who Wilma is.
Are you kidding? Oh my god, this is gonna be so great. It's gonna be so great.
Elizabeth Perkins. What do you mean?
No.
You're talking about the same Elizabeth. How are we confused about this?
I think you might be incorrect.
I only wrote down six people. So those are the only six people I can talk about comfortably.
I'm really excited to know also, like, what you think of this movie. But before then,
right?
Who could watch this?
Good call. So obviously anybody that has seen it before, and it's been like 15, 10, 5, 20 years, if it's been a while since you've seen this movie, I think it's worth giving it a try. Especially if you're pretty high, or you're pretty drunk one night, or the family's around, and you're like, alright, let's see what the 90s had to offer about doing live-action versions of cartoons. Okay, Adriana is reacting with shock to something she saw on her phone. So I think we're about to find out who she is trying to get me to talk about.
Elizabeth Taylor. That's her.
She was an actress from the early times,
but then she's also...
She plays... The mother of Elizabeth Perkins.
Oh my god. She's Wilma's mom. And she's also Fred Flintstone's mother-in-law.
Right.
Great. Great casting. Whoever was the casting director for this, they did a good job on all the casting.
Yeah, it's crazy. So if you listen to the previous episode, Casa de las Flores, the matron of that show definitely is channeling the Elizabeth Taylor vibe because...
Yes.
Wow.
That's who I got when I first saw Casa de las Flores. I was like...
You're like, oh, the mom from Flintstones. Yeah, how interesting.
The mom from Flintstones, but Hispanic.
Yes,
got it.
Yes. And also apparently selling. Anyways, so this movie, I think if you've seen it before and it's been a while, definitely check it out again. If you are doing sort of... Okay, so I guess one of our fun like birthday rituals is watching a movie that came out in the year that you were born. Mm, so if that applies to you or anybody
you
know...
If that's
something
that you want to do on your birthday, if you're the kind of person who's not like...
ritual.
Like, I'm going to go and party every year on my birthday. You want to have a chill birthday one year? Just spend a day watching movies that were made...
That came out the year of your birth or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe the day
just
of your birth.
Interesting to watch
like
what's going on during that time.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people later will be like, 90s? You were born in the
90s?
And then other people are like, you were born in the 90s?
You're so old.
It's a baby.
Just wait 10 years and we'll be so old. Time is a flat circle. Come on. We're all going to be everywhere.
Back to this movie. I am so happy that you watched this and I brought this to your life. This is almost equivalent to bringing The Mask.
Yeah.
Into your life, because it's one of those classics.
Yeah.
It's one of those, definitely, like, a movie that I think it won, like, an Oscar for,
costuming or something. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think it won an award.
It's very well realized in the world. Like, it's clear that a studio put down a good chunk of money to have this set built. And, like, some parts of it function really nicely and, like, are very well realized. And then you have these, like, fun little character interactions, like, right outside them. And you get a sense of, like, how complex this world might be and how, like, it's a reflection of our own world. But it doesn't feel fake, but it doesn't feel quite real. You know what I mean? It's like, it's that weird Hollywood 90s vibe.
If you allow yourself to, like, kind of believe in movie magic, right, then you're in the world. You're in their world for a second.
And if you're, you know, a 10-year-old who saw this movie at 10 years old or whatever, and you had been born in 83 or whatever, like, this might have been blowing your effing mind.
That's one of the things that I really enjoyed about rewatching this, because now I'm seeing it on a TV that is from the 2000s.
Right.
I can't say, like, from today, because our TV's kind of old.
It's not that old.
It's a little, it's dated. But, more than anything, it's what Netflix is giving.
Yeah.
Is live streaming of this movie that is probably now, kind of redone in a way.
Sure, it's
remastered.
It's given a new life almost.
Watching it on VHS and watching it in a small TV, it was, everything was incredible to watch. Just the monsters, just the beginning sequence of this movie, it like was so different to me watching it now. Just like these one of them is them on like these I don't even know how to describe them. They're dinosaurs. On these dinosaurs through the water. Or no, not through the water. They're through the sky. It's a giant pterodactyl, I think.
Okay,
and they're riding it as though it's a plane.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then it, like, kind of goes into the ocean where there's these other dinosaurs in the ocean. And then it goes to, finally, bedrock.
Right.
And watching that as a kid, that sequence, that opening sequence was magic. I was like, those are real dinosaurs. They're so cool.
Oh my god, they cast dinosaurs in this movie. That's amazing.
It looked incredible.
Yeah.
And now I watched it and I was like, oh my god, this is a little dated.
You're like, wow.
Like,
this movie is 25 years old.
But it's great because you can tell it's puppets.
Yeah.
It's real stuff.
Yeah, there was definitely like real craftsmanship that went into this.
It's not CGI too. Like,
yeah.
But I could tell.
Yeah. I do like that handmade quality. That's like one of the things I liked about all of those kind of more fantastical movies of the 90s. Like, even the Super Mario Bros. Movie. Like,
they built that stuff.
Yeah, they had to, like, they may not have been great movies, like the Dark Crystal movies. Like, even great versions of this, they have this quality to them that is, like, very handcrafted.
Very 90s.
And yeah. It's almost like it had its heyday then. And so I wonder if we can either, if Netflix will revitalize that some way, if, you know, like, with The Labyrinth and you know, movies like this, and, like, having its own little pocket come back up on Netflix where you had it on VHS when you were growing up. I think that might be cool.
I really liked it.
But yeah, so let's, I guess, let's dive into more of our thoughts on the movies.
But before then, I just really want to ask you, super quick, if the Flintstones was a child and you were the teacher, you gave it a test.
Sure.
And it gave you the test back and you had to give it a grade.
Would I put it at the front or the back of the list? Because that's what this movie
does. No, when
does
you hand it out,
characters.
When you hand it out to the classroom, do you hand it out first or do you hand it out towards the end?
You mean, do I give this test to the kid first?
Oh, no. You know how in school they used to be like, here are the tests, and I'm gonna hand it out from, like, 100 down. Like, whoever did the best to the worst.
Oh, that's not how...
You never got that?
No, that's not how my school... They just did it by, oh, here you are, okay, here's your test.
No.
They just, like, walked around and did it that way, or you came up and grabbed your test.
Oh, wait, you know what? I don't think they did it from, like, worst... From best to worst.
That's...
I think they did it from, like, top three, like, the best people with the best scores on top.
Yeah, no,
and
there
then the rest were just,
vibe.
Like,
no.
Disheveled. But it felt that way. If you got the test
last,
you were like, oh my god.
Why? Oh, that's interesting. Mine were usually like alphabetical or like in seat order. Like the teachers walked around and handed them out. There was no competitiveness. But I understand the metaphor.
What is the grade?
I would have to say maybe a 50 to 60. Like, I don't think this is a...
So about like a D?
As a movie, I don't think it's great. I think there are parts of it that are very well realized, but I think the movie doesn't really know what it wants to be. Like, it's not really a movie for adults. It's not really a movie for kids.
True.
It's like, it's sort of just like, hey, remember this thing called the Flintstones? What
Let's
if we all dressed up
action.
And pretended that we were doing that? And so there's like a weird falseness to it. But it's also kind of endearing in that way, because it's like, oh, look how young John Goodman is, and like, yeah. All of these actors who in some ways got their like starts.
Roseanne O'Donnell, and seeing her.
Roseanne O'Donnell. Oh, I love that you called her that. It's Rosio, my love.
I'm sorry.
Rosio O'Donnell.
I'm sorry.
I call her Rosio. I still fuck it up. Hilarious.
It's a tequila, man. It
really is. Rosio, comma, Donald.
That person. Seeing her in this now was also just great. Yeah. Like, she should have stuck to this, honestly.
Dude,
I don't know why she, like,
she had such great charisma and, like, charm in that
she
role.
She's a great actress in this.
She is a great actress, I'm sure.
Super good.
Yeah, I wish she would come back. Do some roles, bro.
Yeah. I would give this movie... But I have the endearment of it as a child.
Sure. What did you give it as a child, and what do you give it now?
Oh my god, as a child, an A.
An A. It's like 100%. 95.
Wonderful.
It's not quite
it's
colorful
magic.
Enough.
Yeah, it
95.
Was a little, yeah. You're right,
Nothing. It's sort of deserty. So because
crazy.
We live in California now, like, I'm like, oh, that was just shot like 45 minutes from here.
Yeah.
And like, that's like the nearby where they could just dump a bunch of money into construction and just drive everybody out every day or whatever.
But now as an adult, I think I give this, like, a B.
Okay.
Just because it's, like, you did good, but...
So what about it do you think is worthy of the B-ness? So what, I guess, what brings it down?
Definitely costume design and the sets. I have such an appreciation and, like, I just want to thank all the people.
Mm.
Appreciation is the definition of that, you know?
Sure.
But I appreciate everything that was done to make this movie possible.
Mm.
And I think they did a spectacular job
on
that.
As in the craftsmanship involved,
yes.
Okay.
It's so great. It, like, I told you, I was like, the sinks, the showers.
Right.
Like, all the garbage disposal.
Yeah.
All of those elements in this movie, because it's in the Stone Age.
Right.
Is so
all their little
good.
Fixes.
It's so good.
I really wonder who came up with that and, like, how that was worked into the script. Like, were those all scripted things, or was that, like, on set? Someone, like, told a costume designer, hey, would it be hilarious if those was, like, a... Like, the garbage disposal was a pig. And so they just work that in, and someone makes that puppet, or they use that puppet for that, and then that becomes a scene in the movie later. Like, how involved was the, like, collaboration, I wonder? Because often with a lot of these puppet movies, from what I've heard, is that, like, there is an evolution and a collaboration because it takes a little while and there's, like, a lot of craftsmanship involved. So I don't know. I'd be interested to see, like, to know more about the backstory of this movie. Because I enjoyed it. I think what I like most about it is those things, that it took so much energy and, like, so much human collaboration to create something like this in like, a very tangible way.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to, like, drift off too far. I think there's, like, a short way to describe this, and I won't try. What is a two-sentence description or one-sentence description of
the Flintstones? If you don't know anything about, like, the cartoon or anything, like, if you had never seen the cartoon, this would be almost, like, an unwatchable, weird movie, right? Because it's, like, so self-referential and, like, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's got to include, based on the cartoon, the Flintstones, it's a live action version.
It's just a movie of an episode.
Yeah.
It's just a movie of Fred gets a new job.
Fred gets a new job that he is woefully unqualified for.
Yes. And as an executive at his almost construction job.
Right. And it's because of his best friend looking out for him that he ends up with this job, and then the world kind of crumbles around him because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really, honestly, the whole movie. That's exactly what it is.
It's a pretty just, straightforward
it's a friends,
premise.
It's a friends movie. It's a bros movie.
God, it really is, dude. It is. I wonder today if...
That's
like,
what
yeah,
the...
if it would evolve into, like, a... Yeah, it's just, like, a bro family movie type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I wonder if there are, like, how many fan fictions there are of, like, gay romances between the Flintstone and Barney.
Are you kidding me?
Shipping those motherfuckers together.
They love each other. That's like a...
They do. They're bros, though. That's a love. They're such close bros. That's
straight up love. No homo.
No homo. Love right there.
But, yeah, I was really wanting to know when... In this movie, was there a scene? Was there something in this movie that you were like, "Well, I'm watching this." For me, I was the whole time just like, "I'm so glad I'm watching this because I need to rewatch this." And I wonder, right. With you, as somebody who had never seen it before as a child, was there a moment that you were like, "Wow, that was ridiculous"?
I don't think.
Or what was it? Is there anything from it?
I don't know that there was any point of the movie where I didn't feel, like, engaged and, like, kind of interested in what was happening, but at no point was I really surprised either.
Yeah.
Like, it was just sort of like a, experience the whole time. Like, it was fun at sometimes and, like, really dumb at sometimes, and I was like, well, that's exactly what you were going for, and if I was, like, 12 years old, this would be amazing.
Yeah.
But at other times, I was just like, oh, this is a direct like parody or spoof of like X famous movie,
yeah,
that type of thing, and I'm like, okay, so as an adult it wasn't as well crafted as it could have been, I think, but I don't think it needed to be that because of like what this movie is. And yeah. So it's kind of fun
because it's aimed for that group. It's aimed for like 12 year old boys and under,
I sure think. Sure, but also it's really... for people who know Flintstones,
yeah,
who like grew up watching the Flintstones, yeah. And also like those actors.
I probably, yeah, I think I remember growing up watching the Flintstones, like the cartoons. I don't know.
It's interesting. I wonder, I watched this feels like a movie Jim Carrey should have been in.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Because like it the Grinch so, has Jim Carrey, like The Mask is like made Jim Carrey, like Ace Ventura, all of these like really, really wacky movies.
Yeah.
I wonder if like this movie really needed one of those characters. Obviously, I don't know what Jim Carrey would have been, but
could have been the actual CEO who was embezzling money.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been interesting. Or maybe, I don't know. Rick Moranis is great. That's why. Instead of Kyle MacLachlan.
Who?
The bad guy.
Oh, okay.
He's weirdly jacked. And
in this movie or in life?
In this movie.
No, he's not.
He just has like a couple really weird veins on his arms and is like constantly exposing his arms.
Maybe. I didn't look.
That was one thing. Well, I guess it's just, you know, it's the Stone Age, so none of them are like particularly covered. But like John Goodman, it's just arms.
Yeah, and feet.
And feet, yeah.
That was a great part of this movie was the fact that they did a lot of the cartoon stuff in the movie, like the cars moving with the feet, and you see it.
Yeah.
And then
the cartoonization effects.
It kept like the realistic parts of it, you know, where he, after a long day of work, he comes home and like sits down and grabs his stone.
Yeah, what is his it? Stone like newspaper.
Like a stone newspaper that's been chiseled with all the news, and he puts his feet on the table, and it's just
right.
dirty
right,
feet.
Right, because he's been running all day.
He's been working.
Because nobody has shoes.
Man. Yeah.
He's a working man.
Yeah, no, it was so good. I really think all the characters were really great in this.
Okay.
There wasn't one that I was like, oh, I can't stand that character. Or they're not good. More than anything, it's just the lines are so ridiculous.
It is very cheesily
written. What they have to say
is
very cheesy.
Yeah.
But that's the Flintstones. Like, that's what they are. And then one of my favorite characters in this whole show has to be Dino, I think, is its name.
The dog dinosaur?
The dog dinosaur.
Yes.
Dino. God. As a kid, I think that's his name. I can't remember.
I think you're right.
But as a kid, like, oh my God, I always wanted one
wanted
of those.
Wanted a Dino for sure. Yeah, I could see that. The way you reacted to it constantly, like, you're just like,
like, that's what it sounds like when it's running. It's so great.
So cute.
Loved it.
So I do like that it is, I think, what I would have liked from the Flintstones is if it was more of, like, a commentary of the culture it was being made in. You know what I mean? Like, if it... Okay, so... Because it is a recognizable property, it would be interesting to, like, have those characters and then put them in a situation and build the world so that it was reflective of 1994 and the problems with that society. Mm. Whereas I think what it does here is, like, it kind of does that, where they're in a recognizably modern world where they have a sink and they have plumbing, but they have cars, but they're foot-powered, right? Everything is a... they have this, but with a twist, right?
Okay.
And so I think it would have been funny if they took the theme of, like, a human theme or, like, a deeper meaning. This is what a good Pixar movie does, or, like, a good, you know, like... The Good Dinosaur does this really well. Like, I'm literally thinking about delicious Pixar movies that take a human theme and add the level to it, to the world that they're talking about. And so I wonder if there's a way to do that with the Flintstones, where you talk about, you know, they could have done this more corporate greed thing, which they kind of play with.
Yeah, that's what I would say is the real human... problem of it, which
and
is
maybe
the
it's just 25 years ago
the,
that's now just like a not very interesting commentary.
I don't know,
but
I feel like that's very important right now too.
Maybe
it's just a
oh
political
my God, it
now it's a political
all.
Greed
sure.
Yeah, but it's still the same thing where it's just like, you know, once you get a taste of money, it doesn't matter where what caused that money.
Sure,
like you're
sure.
Like, I have it,
well, now I've got
it's
more
here
money.
And that's what that movie tackles, just like Fred Flintstone being a common man who is very naive and who
sure.
is very just, like, open to the world, gets promoted to become an executive at this job because they're like, well, he's the smartest guy, but he's also the dumbest guy.
Sure.
And then tricking him into stealing money. And he knew something was wrong, too.
Right.
But once they gave him money, he was like,
well... Okay, well, now I've got some money. This
is pretty
nice. I gotta go
spend it.
Right.
Yeah. And then only after does he realize that he's done something wrong.
Sure.
That he, like, is now embezzling money for an oil.
Yeah.
Not oil. It's steam.
Steam power.
A steam-hungry company.
I guess. Yeah. Well, they're basically... they're So I don't know. I just... maybe it's because it was made in 1993 that I wish the underlying message was more interesting. But, I guess it is, like, the fear of, you know, like, automation almost.
Yeah, but I feel like in 1993, they were probably afraid, they were probably dealing with something...
with, like,
like
the computer
that,
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
the,
that stuff must have been very relevant,
Internet,
where it's,
yeah.
like, something new is about to come and it's bad, and people
sure.
are going to take money.
And I feel like that's still happening today.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to see...
that was relevant.
I don't know. You know, do you understand what I'm saying, though, that I think that they danced too close to the, like... haha, fun, happy, slapstick, kids story, when they could have gone, they could have pushed a little bit further down the satire or the, like, the more adult level of it. I think they could have made it, like, 10% more appealing to the adult audience, and then it would have been a more well-rounded movie for any audience to watch.
I guess, but more than anything, I think this was a story about friendship.
Okay.
So... they definitely tackle that topic where it's like Fred becomes a jerk to his best friend Barney, who mm-hmm. is, you know, they both sacrifice stuff for one another.
Sure.
But now they're starting to drift apart and then they have to come back together. Like, that's the conflict. It's like, can they come back together? Not
right.
so much like the conflict of the real world.
Sure.
That's not the most important.
So
yeah. I think because this movie is aimed for kids, that's a much more interesting topic to them.
Right, they just keep it a simpler, more
yeah.
like down-to-earth
like,
experience.
I kind of wonder, I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure this movie must be rated, like, G. Because I feel like
yeah,
it's for
G
everybody.
PG, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it? I guess I feel like, was there a weird sexual tension?
Oh, there was so much sexual tension. Halle Berry is all sex in this.
Yeah, that's
like,
why, like, it is strange because, like, a lot of the humor is purely sexual humor.
Like, the first scene of Halle Berry coming in, Fred Flintstone sees her, and he's like, you're my personal secretary? And
oh
then she's
God,
like, I'll
yeah.
do anything for you. And his tie, like, just comes
Broop,
up.
Yeah.
Broop. And we all know what that was supposed
just
to be
like,
a sign
okay.
for. Like, that was like, you got a boner, bro.
Right. The opposite of a boner, huh?
Yeah. And it was so much of that.
Yeah.
But it was also so much of, like, just, there needed to be bad people in this. And Halle Berry, even though she was a good person, mm-hmm. was also a bad person.
She used her sexual appeal she was, for bad. Yeah, she for was Ill. Bad.
So, she was a bad girl. You
I'm
know?
A bad girl, Mr. Flintstone. I'll sit on your lap, that's fine.
I'll lay on your desk.
Yeah, it was just also interesting to see how different...
Yeah, now that the, like, there's, you know, there's such a movement right now, such a dividing movement of Me Too, that this movie would never make it in this climate.
Yeah,
this
yeah, it would definitely have to be more... I would say...
No, this... I feel like this, if anything, it would get so many poor reviews because they would just be... We're so bored with that story of women being, like, side characters. But in a way, in this, the women were also the saviors. You know, like, we saved all the silly, stupid men.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Because it was...
But
yeah.
But we weren't the focus. It was like, oh, but they're just women, you know?
Right, it's a movie called The Flintstones that is largely about Fred and Barney's friendship. And I'm just like, I don't know that those are the most interesting stories about this family. So yeah, I would say, okay, so inevitably, someone will try to remake this.
Oh, let's hope not.
100% chance somebody's going to try in the next 10 years, 5 years. Yeah, no, no. It may not be in movie form, but it'll be in TV form. It'll be in VR.
Imagine a
simulated
sitcom, that would be the worst.
Anyways, when that happens, what do you want to be? Like, do you want it to be... What do you want it to be, I guess? Question mark. Like, how would you want this to be rebooted? Since it probably will be rebooted at some point. What do you think would be the best way to reboot
Is it messed up to say more people of color? Because...
I am 100% on board with that. Was, I think you do.
There was one black lady and... Oh, no, there's two black ladies. Sorry. One of them was the sex object, Halle Berry.
100%.
And then the other one was the adopting. When Barney and his wife...
Mm-hmm.
They decide that they're going to adopt a child.
Oh, that's right.
Go to the adoption
clinic. You're right.
And this lady comes out with the baby, and she's, like, a black actress. I think she's done some other stuff.
I think so. Yeah,
she's
well known.
Yeah. But that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I saw any other people of color in this movie.
I think you're correct.
Everybody else was 100% white. So, one, I would want some diversity.
Yeah.
And then
I agree. I think it would be interesting if the Flintstones moved somewhere else. Or somebody else moves into Bedrock.
Yeah. And, I don't know, I don't really know if I'm looking for, like, a specific story with the Flintstones, because we all know what it is. Where it's like, Fred is the alpha male.
Right.
Who thinks he's the alpha male, but is actually, like...
My question is there an adaptation or, like, a revival of this story, you think, that can shake up the initial idea of the Flintstones and modernize it in as funny as that sounds for a show about cavemen. Like, do you think, like, it's worth doing that?
No.
Like, even though you have this movie, like, are you content with just having this Flintstones movie, or do you need more Flintstones?
No, I totally need more Flintstones. I think I'm content with this only because it's, like, it's acceptable in the 90s.
Okay.
You're like, this is a 90s movie. I feel it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Like, if I had a 90s party and I needed something to be playing in the background, the Flintstones would be one of them.
Sure.
And then the
or
mask
if you needed
would be
a
the
costume.
Next.
Yeah.
And then,
I'm like, let's just watch the mask.
Yeah,
it's 8 hours
helped,
straight.
I also helped my parents create Halloween costumes.
Right.
And they were Fred and Wilma, which is, I think, the perfect...
Yeah, for your parents especially.
...costume
yeah.
for my parents. Like, if you think of my parents, that would be...
That's hilarious,
That's
yes.
who they were in some life.
Yeah.
Like
in some alternate universe.
Yep.
Yep, they were them. Interesting.
Crazy. Yeah, but overall, I think it's worth watching if you haven't watched it.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe not. Let me rephrase that. Maybe it's not worth it if you haven't watched it. But if you watched it as a child and
if
you
you're fans
haven't seen it
of
in a while.
Any of these actors, which you should be fans of most of these actors.
At least one of them.
Like
should be interested in one of them.
Yeah, like, this is a fun, like, campy, like, kind of movie that is easy to watch, and, like, even though it has some weird conversation starters because of, like, topics it hits and, like, the way it kind of touches those topics, sometimes literally. Like it's a interesting movie to watch. I wouldn't say run out and watch it though.
Don't buy it.
No, certainly not.
Thank God Netflix has it.
Thank the Lord.
This is one of those movies that, like, you know, I talk to you about it and I'm like, you haven't seen this, and it's not like worth buying. But it's worth watching.
But if you have it,
you watch. Yeah,
check it out. Whatever.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I'm trying to think of what other. There are a whole bunch of these movies that in this genre that I'm now thinking of that I think were like the kids' movies of the 90s.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I just completely missed this one.
Well, it's crazy. I feel like you've missed a couple, babe.
I've certainly missed a couple. I don't know what I did.
I've got still, like, in my
what
mind.
What others?
Blank Check.
Never seen that.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Richie Rich.
Nope.
It Takes Two.
Silent
The Parent Trap.
I have seen The Parent Trap.
I'm so proud of you.
I have seen The Parent Trap. Look, I just was not a popular, fun kid. I didn't pay attention to culture.
Popularity. This is, I don't know. This is relevancy.
Culture.
Yeah, it's culture.
That's fair.
Was there any scene in here that was your favorite?
I'm trying to think.
One that stands out in your mind.
I really do. Like you, I like the shots of just, like, exploring bedrock. Just, like, seeing how they've imagined this world and, like,
They have McDonald's.
They have McDonald's and, like, how they do McDonald's. And
all the names even, that they change
yeah,
things
exactly.
To.
Even, like, how they take tests, which is they are chiseling into a piece of stone, like, their answers. And So I think that the most fun of this movie is seeing how they, like, did the visual effects and the costumes and the people that populate this world. I guess the other person I say should watch it is somebody who's interested in doing that. Like, if you're interested in being a puppeteer,
you
love costume design, if you love set design, if you like how physical things and models are made, definitely check
check this place out.
It is a place. Like,
check
it has
bedrock.
A real bedrock seems real in the movie, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of movies that try to do this kind of thing kind of stumble in that, and I think this one has a better realized world than
also,
a lot of.
Also, why isn't Universal Studios having a bedrock land?
Seriously.
Because that would be so dope.
I would go to Bedrock.
I would go to Bedrock Land.
That's pretty hilarious.
Or whatever,
like,
whatever
you could have
called.
A lot of fun, like foods and stuff. They could sell
you
turkey
get
legs.
There. You
could
literally
put a
create
McDonald's.
A fake McDonald's.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Why haven't they done this?
Universal,
like,
hire
Universal,
us.
Universal, get with the fucking times.
I know.
With the past, the 90s.
All these companies need
now
to
the
hire
90s
some
kids,
like mid 20s and 30 year olds.
Now all of us are,
like,
growing up and
yeah,
we're like,
and
what
we're
do
like,
we want
look,
to see? What do we want to remember? What do we want to go to? What would we pay money to go experience?
Like, you guys clearly want to remake
the
all this shit. We are ready to
we're
help
here
you.
With
okay.
Our, take my
so
money.
The best reincarnation of Flintstones then for you is a Universal Land.
Yeah. No, don't make the movie. Don't make the movie
Avatar
again.
Avatar
no,
movie.
No. Just
see, the problem is that if they
the
make
land.
The land, they're going to be like, oh, when's the movie coming out? When's the Netflix original TV show? Dude, maybe in 3 years from now, we'll be reviewing the Flintstones TV show.
We'll be like,
show.
Remember that time?
And it's like a really gritty
episode
drama.
Episode 10, we talked about the Flintstones.
In episode 10, we
We're
ruined
back.
The world with
we told
more
the future.
Flintstones.
Like that time Adriana predicted that Beyonce was pregnant. Twice.
Twice, yeah. With twins. Doesn't really count. I predicted she was pregnant twice. Because she has twins.
She twins.
That's hilarious. We're sitting here in our little podcasting nook, and we're just surrounded by a lot of these DVDs that I don't ever remember buying, but I have now.
I feel like they've just been given to you.
Yeah, I've just sort of collected them.
Most movies.
And I don't know if I should purge them, because to be honest, I haven't seen some of them.
No, don't purge.
I'm not going to
purge
them.
Movies. The only
that's
movie...
That's how I feel now.
The only movie you should purge is The Box.
The Box?
And Car Dogs.
Car Dogs. Oh, Car Dogs.
Let's
we should
not get
do,
there.
We
Let's
should do an
I,
episode.
It's on Netflix. Check it out.
Episode, like, 53 should be Car Dogs.
Zach's head is in it.
Is it?
No.
Is my head in it? Oh, damn. That's too bad. Probably in the bloopers or in the extras for that.
I don't think there are extras on Netflix, you know?
Probably not. You are correct. That would be a feature I like. Can we just have a quick sidebar at the end here about the autoplay functionality of Netflix? Because I just, spoiler alert, I just finished binging Breaking Bad, BoJack Horseman. And that is, you know, I mean, you know BoJack. It's a fairly depressing show.
Yeah.
To just slam into the next episode 3 seconds after
it's really messed
the
up.
End
Netflix,
of, like, these gut punches.
Yeah, they've really been like,
not a
hey,
fan.
Do you want to watch this next?
Okay, you're watching it.
That's how it is. It doesn't even finish its sentence.
Right. It sets
like,
up a sentence.
Guess what?
It
there's another.
Just kidding. You're watching.
Here, you're in it. Sorry.
Doom.
Yeah.
Because
and
it's
it'll only ask
show.
You after like so many episodes. Are you still watching?
Yeah, it's like 3 hours
it's like,
later.
We're just checking in on you. Are you okay?
They
we
really
just
should
left you with 3 hours of BoJack.
Put the like right. SpongeBob 3 hours later, like that mm-hmm. kind of thing to
they
tell
should,
you.
They need to like it's chill it down and just let us think about if we want to watch
5 seconds
the next episode.
Minimum,
yeah.
Please, 5 to 6 seconds. I need a little bit of time to just like breathe after the thing I just finished watching before it.
Amen.
I wish I could. Okay, a compromise I would take is amount of time. So you could check. Long, short, medium. That way I could go, like, long on The Office. Or
like
short
fast,
on The Office. Yeah, that's what I mean. Just, like, slamming
fast
the next
on
The Office.
Office.
I don't
going.
Need... Let's just keep this shit going.
But if it's a new thing.
But, like, BoJack Horseman, man, give me, like, 10 seconds, please. I just need to... Wow. I just need to take a breath after those things. Sorry. Okay, so just sidebars over. Yeah, so we watched The Flintstones. I feel like the most relevant cultural relevance Flintstones will ever have is the gummies. The gummy vitamins.
Gummies?
Yeah, because...
Oh, because that, there's gummies, Flintstones.
That is what
got
I know
it.
Flintstones most for, is
oh
their,
my God.
Their vitamin gummies. Because I would eat those so much when I was growing up. I'm like, these are just, like, healthy
it's high
candy.
High fructose corn
it's
syrup.
It's literally healthy it. Candy. Hilarious.
Oh. I recommend it if you've seen it.
Sure. If you need a little nostalgia trip.
Yeah, definitely
just like
do
a nice 90-minute parachute away from the
reality.
Hellscape that is reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to our blabber. Thank you for
allowing
us to take these tequila shots and, you know, trying to have cohesive thoughts.
Yeah, trying to really, you know, word muscle our way through it.
Sure, Martha.
Thanks for listening.
Next time. Oh, I meant see you next time.
Forgot to see ya.
She's behind a wig.